Scripture reading tonight is taken out of the second book of Luke, and we're going to start around the eighth verse. So Luke 2:8 will be a story familiar to most of you. I'll give you a second to find that. Luke 2:8. If you could stand, please, for the reading of the word tonight. And starting with verse 8. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
Okay, if you've been in church at any amount of time, you've probably heard this talked about at least, 1,000 times. I grew up hearing the same scripture year after year, and I've taught it to preschoolers and junior church and the youth, and did plays on it, and this is off of the subject, but I was telling Christy, my oldest daughter, she's at home tonight with Jace. Jace hasn't been feeling well. So I was telling her earlier what I was going to be speaking about, and it was this part of the scripture. And she says, "Well, Mom, when she was younger, the youth was putting on a comedy script of this." And so she goes, "Mom, don't you remember our cousin Dee Dee was an angel?" So she was going to say it about what the angels had came. And then it was when great joy. Well, she stands up and she goes, "And great dawn," the dishwashing liquid. So someone over on the other side of the stage, because it's a comedy, "It's joy." And she goes, "Oh, yeah." And so she pulls it out, "Great joy." So I have heard the scripture put in many different ways. So I was reading through this, and to see what would jump out, I want you to not think, because a lot of times when you read this, you go back to one of your favorite times of reading this story, or if you were in a play, because I believe Beth had it in the play that we just had a few Sundays ago. But let's not go there. We're going to look at it a different way. Tom had read it about the shepherds. And let's look at it a different way. Let me take you to when something happens in your life, you remember that moment. Even if it's good or if it's bad, you remember it. Most of you, well, not all of you, but most of you will remember 9/11. You can probably tell me where you were at, what you were doing, how you found out about it. You can tell me what happened an hour later, 2 hours later, 5 hours later. You can tell me what happened the next day and for that whole week, because that was an event that happened. That was a bad event, but it still tells you on events that will help, that is either good or bad, you remember details. For the older ones, I don't remember this one because of I wasn't born yet. But when President Kennedy was shot, all the older ones can tell me where they were at, how they found out, and what happened in the next few days to follow and the next week with our country, with our state, with other countries, because of it was an event. This event was a glorious event. The shepherds can tell you they were in the fields watching their sheep. They can tell you about the angels that came and told them. Now let's read verse 10. But the angels said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So they tell you that. They tell you about going on and finding baby Jesus. And then let's go to verse 17. It says, when they seen him, they spread the word concerning what has been told them about this child. And all who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Okay, so now the shepherds have seen baby Jesus. And what are they going to do? They're going to go and tell about what they have seen and what they have heard. The angels have appeared and they were celebrating. They go and they see Jesus and they have all this joy. So I'm going to take you down with this, but at the age of 10, I was at a little country church. They were having revival and I was with my grandparents. I can tell you that if I'm looking at the pastor right now, I am sitting on the right hand of the church, further back than halfway. And I cannot tell you what the pastor preached on that night, but I can tell you when the altar call was given, I found myself coming out of the pew and going down to the aisle with tears. And if anyone knows me, I cry a lot, no matter if I'm happy, sad, or just whatever, I cry a lot. So I'm going down this aisle, and I am so full of joy. I can't explain what I'm feeling, but I am so, so full of joy. I go down, I get on my knees, and I accept Jesus into my heart, and everything about me was so joyful. I was just so full, I was ready to go tell everyone that I have been saved. Flashback. This is my day one with Jesus. Day one with the shepherds is the exact same thing. They are full of joy. They are so full of joy. They see Jesus, and what do? They go and tell everyone. Joy is the presence of Jesus. My salvation, the presence of Jesus. What does joy produce? A testimony. So my day one is like day one with the shepherds. All right, I'm going to flip over to Luke 15, verse 10. I just want to just read this real quick so I can get it in with where we're going here. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So the only thing I was missing was those angels? No, they were right there rejoicing with me because I was saved. I came and accepted Jesus into my heart. So my day one with Jesus is the shepherd's day one with Jesus. There's the angels. There is the joy, and there is a testimony. And do you think day 20, where are the shepherds? Do you think they're still telling their story? Yes. Today is 2017. This story is still being told. My day 20, I was so excited. I couldn't wait to get to school the day that I had Bible class. And I was in the fifth grade, and I go in, and I couldn't wait for Bible class so I could tell my Bible teacher I got saved. You know, I'm really excited about it. Okay, so my expectations of my Bible teacher, oh man, she is going to jump for joy, and she is going to be so excited. That's my expectation. I told my Bible teacher, and she goes, oh, good. So my expectation went, so what did I do? I allowed Satan to take a little bit of that joy because of an expectation. My Bible teacher was still happy, but my expectation was for her to be very joyful like me. So when that didn't happen, I allowed Satan to take a little bit of my joy. So, you know, day 21, day 22, shepherds still telling their story. Me, still telling my story. So we go through all these days with Jesus and life with Jesus. Sometimes our life, things happen. Things don't go like we expect. And Satan gets in there and takes a little bit more of our joy. But then, let's say, day 632. I'm about 12 years old. I am at my grandparents' house. I don't know what y'all do when Jehovah's Witnesses come up your sidewalk. I'm not sure, but most of the time we get real quiet and we're not at home. But do you think this 11, 12-year-old was going to let this chance get by? No. She thinks, I think, I know so much because I've been going to church and reading my Bible that I'm going to talk to this Jehovah's Witness. Didn't know much about Jehovah's Witness. I mean, I'm only 11 or 12. But I knew they didn't believe in Christmas. So Christmas, that's baby Jesus. So I'm not sure about that. And then I knew they didn't believe in hell. So I go out and start talking to this lady. And, of course, I run back in the house and get my grandmother's Bible. So I go out and I am going to show her and I'm going to tell her. So I didn't have very many Bible verses. I probably could have quoted them John 3:16. And then when you go to church camp, you learn the real easy ones, because the more Bible verses you learn, you get more points for your team. So I knew Jesus wept. But that didn't help me explain that there was a hell to this lady. So what do? I take that Bible and I flip it to the back and I could look for hell going down through there and I find the Bible verses. So I start telling her, you know, Revelation such and such, and, you know, we're going back and forth. Well, guess what? She says, Revelation isn't in the Bible. So found out another thing about them. They didn't believe in that Revelation was in the Bible. So how am I going to prove my point that there was hell? And then, you know, I'm just like, you can't do this and you can't do that. A lot of Christians, new Christians, old Christians, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. Do you think that lady seen any joy in me? No. She did not see any joy in me. I was too busy doing this and trying to prove her wrong and her trying to prove me wrong. So there was nothing that came about with that meeting for 632 days of me being with Jesus. Then days go by and more days and more life and different things happen and you get joy and you get a little bit of joy taken out and you get joy. And in my life at this point going forward, I'm in church a lot. I grew up in different churches, but I started here when I was about 10 or 11. My mom and dad, which are here tonight, they allowed me to go with at the time was my aunt and her boyfriend, which was Rhonda and Jed Carpenter. Jed plays the drums. So they allowed me to come to this church, and we were over in South Covington at the time. So I got to go to the church I was at, and sometimes I'd get to go to my dad's mom and dad's church. Sometimes I got to go to my mom's mom and dad's church. So I was always in church, and I had youth. So there is a lot of times that we would have youth things, and I would be up here at the altar. And, of course, sometimes you get these legalistic things in your mind that, okay, God, did I lie today? Because, God, if I did, please, please forgive me, because I don't want to go to hell. Because I really thought every little thing, I may go to hell because of different things. But I got so much joy because I stayed in church. I was in youth programs. I was in the main service. And I stayed doing church. Does that take, that puts joy in? But life out there takes joy out, little piece and a little piece. And so to come here and do things. All right, well, let's go to day 3,285, day with Jesus. We were in this building at the time, and we didn't have very many classrooms, and we were doing vacation Bible school. So we didn't have that side room right there, but we would have like two tables over here and two tables in the back and two tables. So that was three different classrooms. This vacation Bible school, I remember a lot of details about that day. My classroom was the two tables that was against the wall. I think I had the fourth and fifth graders. Or somewhere around there. And it was one night that I asked if anyone wanted to ask Jesus into their heart. I had three children to raise their hand. We got out of our chairs. We sat in a circle in the floor. And I prayed the sinner's prayer with them. I prayed and I cried. The joy that I felt the day that I got saved, it was so overpowering because I sat there and I cried with these three children. They were so full of joy. I was full of joy. But the flashback of my day one is now their day one. They're having a day one. The angels are celebrating in heaven. They're seeing Jesus for the first time. They have joy. Overflowing joy and my joy to watch someone give their life to Jesus is so full of joy, so full of joy. So now I have my day one and my testimony. I have my day 3,285 with these three students. Their day one, my day one, the shepherd's day one, all the same. Full of joy because of the presence of Jesus and the joy that produces a testimony. So, we follow along with day 4,000. And life has a way of, you have deaths, and you have mistakes, and you have some people in your face. You shouldn't have done that. You're going to hell. You shouldn't have done that. You can't do this now. And it starts taking joy out. But that's life. But you have to refill your joy. Don't let life take your joy. Amen. So we're all human. We all make mistakes. But if you're a Christian, I want you to think about it before you do this to another Christian or even a someone that doesn't know Jesus, if you're doing this to them, they're going to be running. They're going to say they don't want to have any part of what you're doing. So some of those days can be really non-joyful. But there's days that brings you so much joy. Day 4,380. It's the day I had my firstborn. She comes into this world, and it's so much joy. I had no clue, because when I would babysit when I was younger, I said, I'm not going to have any children. Plus, I had all younger brothers and sisters. I'm the oldest. I said, I'm not going to have any children. So when this little 6-pound, 9-ounce little girl brought me so much joy. Then day 4,950, I have this little boy. They're only 19 months apart. I had so much joy, so much joy. Yeah, there is a little hard time in there for parents. You know what I'm talking about. And then 6,875 days, I have another little girl that I'm just so overjoyed, overjoyed. Then 6,937. My two oldest ones, Christy and Brandon, they found Jesus and they were saved. So the joy that I felt on my day one, the joy that the shepherds had on their day one, those three kids in Vacation Bible School, the joy they had on their day one is what my children experienced on their day one with Jesus. And for a parent, the joy I can't even explain. It is a joy that I want to share with everyone. What do you think? The shepherds. They watched. They got to see Jesus. They want to share with everyone. Their story is still being told. Tonight, I am telling my testimony of my day one and just a few other instances. Now, on day 6,990, Christy and Brandon, they were baptized in a swimming pool over at Barbara and Kenny Armentrout's. I can remember the day. Joy, crazy joy. And then on day, okay, well now we're going to 9,795. My youngest one, Allison, she asked Jesus into her heart. I have three children, and all three children have asked Jesus into their heart. Amen. 9,820, Allison was baptized, and she was baptized here. And I can't explain the joy of watching my children get saved and get baptized. But not only my children, people, older people even, that have not been saved. My grandfather, my mom's dad, he was saved way late in his years. But boy, was the joy when he got saved, because I knew when he died, I knew when my grandparents died, I was going to see them again. Do you think that's joy? Amen. Day 12,775 for the shepherds. How do you think they felt when they heard that Jesus had died on the cross? How do you think they felt? Shortly followed by Jesus rose. The joy of seeing this baby And then when they put him to death, but then when he rose again, knowing that that was going to be joy for all people, not just for the people that were living when the shepherds was living, not for the 100 years after, or the 200, or the 1,000, or the 2,000, but for today, for my parents, for my grandparents, for my great-grandparents, for my children and my great-grandchildren. Today, my joy in seeing my kids, my son-in-law, and my grandson coming to church, Christy involved in stuff, the plays that we have, teaching junior church. She has taught junior church, and she's now teaching preschool, and Allison teaching preschool. The joy that the angels talked about. I bring you good news of great joy. Amen. That will be for all the people. That's for everyone in here. The joy. Life, yes, gets and pulls at you. You just need to look and don't get the same, like, oh, I've seen this happen before, and oh, yay, I'm glad. You know, like my Bible teacher, oh, yay, I'm glad you got saved. Don't ever let that be a part of your life. That is joy. Let them know that that is joy that they're experiencing, that they're not alone, that the angels are rejoicing for them. They're day one. No matter if they are 10, 30, 60, 80, their day one is like the shepherds, my day one, those kids' day one, my children's day one. Don't let life take your joy. Jesus, the presence of Jesus is our joy. Jesus is always with us. We have asked him into our heart, and Jesus is always with us. And that joy produces a testimony in every single one of you that you can share with others. Not do as the one little girl did at the age of 11 and 12 doing this. We need to have grace. We need to have grace. So tonight, the joy that the shepherds had, and the joy that I had my first day, your first day, that joy, I want everyone to have. If you have never experienced a day one and asked Jesus into your heart, tonight I'm going to ask, usually we do a show of hands. I don't want that tonight. In just a little bit, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up. If you have never had your day one, I want you to come and find one of our prayer team people so they can rejoice with you. Amen. Now, if life has gotten you down and has taken little pieces of joy out, a lot of times all you need is to come here and you fall down and Jesus meets you right here. So if life has been hard and you've lost a little bit of your joy, find one of the prayer team people to pray with you. I'll go on and ask my prayer team to come on up. I'm not sure if this is a totally different message as you have heard the shepherd and angel story, but I hope that you take with you tonight, that joy equals the presence of Jesus in your life. And that presence of Jesus that produces the joy produces your testimony. Don't sit on your testimony. Go out and tell the world about your joy, just as the shepherds did their day one. And here it is, 2017, and we still get a breakdown of the shepherds out in their fields. Very detailed testimony of their day one. So, if you will go on and stand, and if you would like to talk to one of the prayer team up here, please, please come up and talk and share your joy with them, and they will pray with you. Also, if there's any needs, any prayer needs for healing or any of that, please come and see one of the people up here. I will go on and close in prayer tonight. And if you'll just be quiet with people being up here and being prayed with, and just exit quietly, I would appreciate it. I thank you. I love you guys. And thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. And I really hope that the joy that I feel fills you. Let me pray, please. Father, thank you so much for showing up for me tonight, Father, and helping me to share what I've seen in the scripture, Father. Father, that you did send joy, Jesus, the presence of Jesus to us, Father. I just thank you so much for Jesus, Father. Father, as we go outside these walls, Father, and as we're inside these walls, Father, that we share with each other of our lives. Father, as we go out and we tell others about our joy, not with the shaken finger, but with your love, Father. Father, I just love you, and I thank you for everyone that's here, Father. Father, I just love you, and I give you all the praise and the glory tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.